We're celebrating Vaisak with our Kapuja today, with this retreat and practicing the Dhamma together. And we're very fortunate to have Venerable Ajahn Anand visiting us from Wat Mab Jan Buddhist Monastery in Rayong Province, Thailand. We'll invite him to give a Dhamma talk now to commemorate the occasion. Good way to celebrate the full moon and recollect the birth, enlightenment and parinibbana of the Buddha by hearing some Dhamma. So please make your minds peaceful and concentrate on the Dhamma so that it can be of benefit to you. So now is the time to listen to Dhamma. As we listen, we can meditate following the feeling of the in-breath and the out-breath. Keep your mindfulness with the breath. Keep the mind in the present moment. The Dhamma that we listen to is the truth. It's the truth that the Lord Buddha revealed through his enlightenment on that night of Visakha Purnami, the night of his enlightenment, the full moon in May. On that night he destroyed all ignorance and delusion from his heart, the ignorance and delusion that is the cause for craving and attachment to arise. He completely abandoned all of this from his mind and heart, and experienced the purity of a mind free from ignorance, free from defilement. The result of this was the end of the cycle, of endless cycle of birth and death he had experienced wandering in samsara for so long. He could end the cycle of birth and death because his insight was so deep and profound, it could actually cut off finally all the mental defilements that he had previously been experiencing. Samucheta Bahana, the complete abandoning of defilement. But the Buddha was also motivated by great compassion. He didn't settle for just experiencing the peace and happiness of his own liberation on that night. For a short time he did, but then afterwards he spent his time teaching others, those who were able to know and understand the Dhamma as he had, out of compassion and kindness for other beings. He spent 45 years teaching in India. Even though we ourselves have been born at a much later time, we are still fortunate that we have our teachers who have also had their own realization and continued to teach this way out of suffering. We have Ajahn Mun and Ajahn Chah. Their teachings can guide us to the way to purify our hearts from the kilesa through the development of the practice of sila, samadhi and panya. We have come together here out of our faith in this teaching and with a wish to practice. So we should put effort into developing mindfulness in every posture as we practice through our life. If we are meditating, sitting down quietly with our eyes closed, then place your mindfulness on the feeling of the in-breath and the out-breath. If in the course of your meditation you experience some aches and pains over time, contemplate these feelings that arise. Rely on your patience, your fortitude, and start to develop insight, actually looking at this vaitana feeling, maybe painful, unpleasant feelings that start to arise. And you can might come to the realization that feeling, vaitana, the mind and the body are three different things. They form part of a whole, but they are each separate. And the mind that is trained in mindfulness and wisdom can see this and know this. This is what will free it from suffering. We can see when there is no mindfulness, that pain, aches and pains, they make the mind agitated. The body becomes uncomfortable and the mind becomes uncomfortable. So as we practice, we're developing the four foundations of mindfulness, focusing the mind attention on the body, feelings, the mind itself, and Dhamma. When we contemplate the mind, we can see that there are times when the mind is conditioned by greed, anger, and delusion. But then there's other times when the mind is free from greed, anger, and delusion. So we get to know both, the mind that is defiled, the mind that is not defiled. We observe that all these different mental states arise and pass away. They're impermanent. For instance, you can see that you may have had moods of anger in the past. They affected your mind, caused you suffering. But because it's in the past, you can see they arose and they passed away. They've gone now. As we practice mindfulness, we can even observe in the present. We can see these moods of anger, for instance, arising and passing away in this very moment. And we can see that in the future, they will do the same thing. If they do arise in the future, they will also pass away in the future. So we're coming to see the conditioned nature of our mind and see that this is all not self. There's no fixed being or person within this. We can see that all these conditions are the same. They're impermanent. We can contemplate to see the difference between wholesome states and unwholesome states of mind. Kusala Dhamma, wholesome, skillful states of mind, bring us happiness, joy, rapture. But sometimes the unwholesome states of mind, kilesa, arise, and this always brings with it mental suffering and agitation. So these four foundations of mindfulness, these are areas for us to pay attention to. We can begin with the body itself, because this is perhaps the most fundamental basis for our attachment. The mind clings to the body and identifies with it as self. We might focus on the in and out of breath then, until our mind becomes firm, stable and unshakable in its sense of calm. When the mind becomes calm, we can contemplate the body. We can see that this body is actually just made up of the four elements of earth, air, fire, and water. There's no real self in it, nothing that we can cling to and find as some kind of lasting essence of self. We might have that insight arise just for a short while, temporarily, leading to a temporary liberation from our normal states of clinging and attachment, tatanga vimutti, a temporary state of release. But if we keep on practicing and contemplating, and we can see this kind of insight that leads to release might arise more often. Sometimes we can develop states of calm and really contemplate our experience of this body and mind and see that this body and mind is impermanent, unsatisfactory and not self. Sometimes we just contemplate straight off. We start practicing and we contemplate the impermanent nature of this body. And as we contemplate little by little, our normal distracted states of mind and the hindrances fade away and states of samadhi arise. This is what we call developing samadhi through the use of panya, or insight. We contemplate the mind also to see that it's not sure, it's uncertain. The different moods we experience, they arise and they also pass away all the time. once the mind is calm from contemplating the impermanence of the states of mind in this way, we can go back to investigate the body. And we can start to let go of the attachment to this sense of self that we normally have for this body. So all of this we call the Eightfold Noble Path. It's what the Buddha taught, the practice for the way out of suffering. This is what Ajahn Chah taught us. This is something we have to start developing in daily life, practicing mindfulness in all postures. The more mindfulness we have, then the quicker we will see results. So as we learn to make this mind peaceful, we turn to contemplate the body more and more. We can direct the peaceful mind, the calm mind, to see this body as its 32 parts, going through them, the hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, skin, and so on. Whether it's our body or the body of other people, they're the same. They're made up of these 32 parts. As you contemplate each of the 32 parts, you become more and more aware that they're not actually very attractive. They have a repulsive side. Go through them one by one. So once you get down to the skin, you're contemplating the skin of this body. Imagine taking the skin off. Suddenly it reveals everything inside and how unattractive it is. The flesh, the organs, the blood, and so on. The Lord Buddha taught us to practice mindfulness of the body and come to see the body in the body, to really know this body as it is. So we have to learn to contemplate it, really look at it and investigate it. Come to see what the bones really look like, the flesh, the blood, the urine, the grease, the spittle, and so on. Come to see the body in the body, and the body as it is. And we can't help but realize it has this repulsive, unattractive side. As we contemplate like this, we're gradually removing our delusions, our deluded perceptions that we've held onto about this body and the body of others. This practice, it counters our attachment to the body. Normally we're infatuated with it, we grasp and cling to it as something beautiful. We get caught up in sensuality, we get caught up in sexual desire, and often this is directed towards other people. But little by little, through this contemplation, it brings a sense of peace to the mind, coolness and detachment. We can use the 10 corpse meditations, contemplating to see this body as a corpse in various states of decay and decomposition. Contemplate the body to see it as the 32 parts or the four elements. We can also use the breathing meditation to focus on the body, to see the breath as the breath coming in and coming out, and so on. As you use the breath meditation to calm the mind, then our various states of agitation and distraction fade away and the mind settles down in one-pointedness. These are all what we call gamatana, methods for making the mind calm through developing a firm foundation, a firm basis for the mind. And we have to develop this through the practice, regular, frequent practice. As we develop our gamatana, then we turn to also contemplate, to develop insight. Contemplate this body and mind to see its true nature is impermanent. We can see when there's not much mindfulness present, the mind is very agitated, thinking, distracted, caught into its own confused mental states, and we won't see the truth of impermanence. But when you practice sitting and walking meditation like we are today, from this you can start to deepen your insight and see through all this mental confusion and proliferation and just see it as mental states that are impermanent, arising, passing away. This is what allows us to let go of our attachments to moods and different desires. So this is our practice. You might say it's a kind of work. It's a job we have to do. And we have a good opportunity to develop it on a retreat like this. This is our good fortune. We should ask ourselves, why does this mind experience greed? You know, where does it come from? What causes it? And when we do experience greed, what happens? It brings us suffering. And why do we have to suffer? Where does anger come from? Why does it come up into our hearts? Where does delusion come from? You really contemplate this. Come to see where these things are caused, what brings them into being. And we can see, over time we'll see, it's because we don't really understand the path, the way to liberate our minds from these things. We are fixed in our delusions. Unless we practice, we won't really be able to change them. And the Buddha said we have four basic delusions, you know, misunderstandings. We see things that are inherently impermanent as permanent. We see things that are inherently unsatisfactory and suffering as satisfactory and happiness. We see things that are ultimately not self, without a self, without an owner, we see them as self. And we see things that are actually unattractive, repulsive, we see them as beautiful. These are the four delusions affecting us as human beings, and we have to use this practice to remedy these wrong views, misunderstandings of truth. We have to contemplate, keep contemplating, and little by little our wrong views will change into right view and correct thinking. With the arising of right view and correct thinking, this will bring us more of a sense of peace and inner happiness. The body will feel light, the mind will feel light and at ease, because it's dropping its attachment. Whatever moods and mental states arise to cause us suffering, the mind sees them as not self and impermanent and lets them go. This is called seeing the Dhamma, and it leads to an inner happiness. We can see that the real cause of suffering is actually ignorance and delusion of truth. We just don't understand the reality of things. And this is where attachment and the sense of self arises from. Once we develop mindfulness and concentration and insight, then we're able to see this truth more clearly and to let go of this false sense of self, the delusion of self that causes so much suffering. Obviously it's not easy to do this. It's not easy to go against our defilements and our attachments and our delusions. So we have to use effort. We have to bring up effort. We have to be patient and keep practicing. We have to keep putting our energy into contemplating the Dhamma, to see the truth of things, to see that this body is impermanent, this mind is impermanent, our moods and our desires are impermanent. Little by little, this will help to deepen our understanding, and we'll, as a result, we'll start to experience more of a peaceful detachment where the mind is happy in itself but not deluded by things. Gradually, it will understand and penetrate the truths of anicca, dukkha, anatta, and see that this body and mind is just impermanent and not self. So this is our good fortune to have come together. We have this opportunity to practice for a weekend on this occasion of Vaisak, Visakha Puja. The Lord Buddha's final teaching was that we shouldn't be heedless. He said all conditions are impermanent. Practice on, strive on with heedfulness. You know, all conditions means all things, whether internal, this body and mind, or external in the world. They're all impermanent. We should therefore use our time to practice to understand the Dhamma before we die, because we don't know how long we've got, but we do know life is impermanent. We won't be here forever. We should really use our time to contemplate, to see this truth, to see the Dhamma. And the Lord Buddha said, one who sees the Dhamma sees the Buddha. One who sees the Buddha sees the Dhamma. This is what we mean by realization or enlightenment. So it's natural that our practice requires us to keep putting in effort. But think about it. If we don't practice, what will happen? If we don't practice, our mindfulness will start to slip away. The actual level of goodness in our mind will fall. The good qualities that we've developed and held in our minds and hearts will start to fade away and get lost. And of course, it'll all be replaced by more suffering. So we must try to upkeep all these skillful qualities we've been developing and build on them through the practice. We must keep the precepts. We must keep practicing meditation. Of course, at first we might meditate and find it's not yet peaceful. Never mind. We just keep practicing. Keep developing the meditation techniques and our experience of peace in the mind through the development of samadhi will sooner or later arise. As it arises more often, then it will last longer. But the important thing is to keep maintaining the practice of mindfulness. As we keep developing mindfulness, then the mind will understand the Dhamma more clearly. Insight will arise, and this will also support the deepening of the states of samadhi. As you practice mindfulness, the mind becomes skillful. With wisdom and insight, it understands things better. It becomes skillful, it learns how to keep its own state of peace and happiness, learns how to keep itself bright and radiant. And we become more brave in the practice. We're able to arouse ourselves to meet any challenges that come up in the course of our practice. We become more skillful at dealing with our own attachments and kilesa. Ajahn Chah used the simile. He said, as we practice and learn how to maintain mindfulness, it's like a person who has their house and they have an entrance hallway to their house, and they're sitting there waiting for any visitors who might arrive at the front door. And they sit in the entrance hallway, but there's only one chair there. So any visitor that comes in, they come in, they look around, but there's nowhere to sit down, so they have to go away again. This is like somebody who's maintaining mindfulness in all postures. There's nowhere for the different states of attachment and suffering to come and stay in the heart, and they just have to go away again, so they can let them go without any harm arising. So we have to learn how to maintain mindfulness and keep contemplating our experience to develop insight and understanding. This is not beyond our ability. If we have faith and confidence in the practice and we're willing to keep doing it, we can all experience the results. For myself, I found it very difficult when I began practicing. One just has to keep at it, keep going until the first three fetters are broken through. Sakkaya ditti, vicikicca, sila paramasa. Attachment to the view of this body as self, in doubts and uncertainty about the practice and what is the path and what is not the path of practice. Blind attachment to different rituals and external aspects of the practice. These are the first borders that we have to cross over in training this heart to go towards realization and enlightenment. The way we go across this border is through training in sila, samadhi and panya. Once you have crossed through this border, then the practice becomes a lot easier and more automatic because the mind is set on its path and it can overcome whatever barriers and obstacles arise. As the practice develops, the five indriyas or the five spiritual faculties, five spiritual powers develop together quite automatically. One's faith is established, this gives rise to energy directed to the arising of and maintaining of mindfulness. The sustaining of mindfulness gives rise to samadhi, and with samadhi one's insight deepens into the nature of reality. So we must really look after our faith and confidence in the teachings, in the Buddha Dhamma Sangha and in the path of practice. If we keep maintaining our faith, this will be a continual source of energy. Energy and effort will keep arising. So we must not lose our faith. If we lose our faith, then it's like we lose our way. We stray, we get distracted and go in the wrong direction and may just give up. And certainly we won't be putting our effort into the right direction. So faith is an essential quality that we must build on and maintain in our hearts. We must look after our hearts and look after this faith we have in the practice. We've been suffering for many lifetimes through samsara, so we must now, having faith in the Buddha and his teachings, we must really look after that as an essential quality. We must keep practicing the precepts, we must keep meditating. One day, if we keep doing this, wisdom will arise. And we're following in the footsteps of the Lord Buddha. We already know how to offer dana, we practice keeping the precepts, but we still have to develop our meditation and train in the practice of mindfulness and wisdom. We must still train this heart to abandon these first three fetters, sila, patta, paramasa, vicikicca, and sakkaya ditti. We must really train this mind to see that this body is impermanent suffering and not self. This will help to change our view of the world, so we can actually just see the body as just the body, not my body. See the mind as just the mind, not my mind. See everything as just anicca, dukkha, anatta. This way of practice is what the Lord Buddha taught to those first five ascetics after his enlightenment. He taught them to see nama and rupa as they are, as anicca, dukkha, anatta in this way. So please establish your hearts and minds and determine yourselves to practice this.
Andamayang vada katha sadhu karang dadama se sadhu 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 anumodami.